Don't feel bad about being 65. It just starts getting better when the first number is 7. It's really a joy to be here in Indiana, PA. I had the joy in the 60s of, you know, they say of those of us who were in the 60s, if you remember it all, you weren't really there. But some of you will get that. And I chased this young lady around this campus. My God, I thumbed down here through the snow from Clarion. We promised our parents we'd go to separate universities because they knew that neither of us would make it through school if we went to the same school. No way. And so I'd thumb down in the snow and avoid all those coal trucks and all that stuff and get down here to Indiana and then chase her around for Friday night and Saturday and Sunday and then have to make it back up to Clarion, thumbing back up. Yeah, thumbing, you know what that means, right? Hitchhiking, right? I'm sorry. My son tells me I had to make space for the generation. Some of you fortunately don't know the things some of us know. So, yeah. And so now she and I have been married for 54 years. We're very excited coming up on the double fives, you know, double grace. It has taken double grace to win the race, let me tell you. She's a wonderful, wonderful lady and sends her greetings and her love today. Ellie is, she's incredible. And she made it through. I didn't. I got thrown out. So that's a whole nother story. We won't go too far down that road. I don't remember much of that part. Praise the Lord. This is a very, very special church. See, you can tell by the tone of voice and that I moved my feet that now we're getting into the meat of the issue, right? You can see. Did you get that? It's a very, very special church. Why do I say that? The IRS defines a church as any group of people who meet at a set place at a set point of time for the purpose of worship, prayer, and Bible study. That is the IRS definition of a church. Jesus defines the church completely differently, totally differently. The world defines us one way. The Lord defines us yet another way. We are the kids' ministry of eternity. When you count how many children are in the church, it's a delight, huh? It's a delight. I was executive pastor at Bethel Temple Assembly of God, Hampton, Virginia, for a few years. And I had 600 kids. 600 kids in a church of 3,000 people. I had 600 kids. Saturday night, man, I just wanted to shut my phone off. Because if there was any place we were attacked, it was in the health and mental health and stamina of children's workers. God, who you know personally, I hope, God invests in children. Maybe when I hit 80, I'll feel mature in Christ. I noticed with Caleb and Joshua, they got their reward at 80, you see, so I'm in no hurry. Until then, I will consider myself a child. I will have childlike faith. I will have childlike forgiveness. I will have childlike determination. I will have total confidence in my Father. He is my hero. He is my idol. Now, I know most of us have matured to the point that we've either buried our natural father or seen his flaws. And so it's easy for us to attribute perfect fatherhood to our Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. So we've lived through these experiences. But let me tell you something. That child that you hold in kids' church can one day become the president of the International Bakke University, raising up leaders in over 100 nations around the world. That child who you take the time with, it's what, 45 minutes to take the time with, that child could become the president of an international foundation working in health, education, parenting, and microeconomic development in 164 countries. One of those ministries that little boy who somebody impacted in kids' ministry, one of those ministries now in the People's Republic of China treats 300,000 people a day. People whose children have autism. That little boy, a small child in a kid's church, has grown into a man who has now facilitated the daily training of 150,000 Cambodian youth in the Word of God and has revamped the education process of an entire nation and now has been invited to bring that process from Cambodia into all the elementary schools in Thailand and in Laos. Because why? Somebody held him in the nursery when he was being separated from his mother and he cried. Someone else, his name is Carl Hollacy, changed his diaper in that nursery. Someone else, I could go through the names of the people who took care of my son when he was in the children's ministry. I'll tell you, you invest in that kid, you have no idea how God is going to take that love, that comfort, that security, and mold that into a world-changing individual. I had the joy Friday of being, of course, up at the Gap and had a wonderful time. And Jackie and Jim, thank you so much. A wonderful time on Saturday. Friday, I was with the Pittsburgh, what is it called, PLF, Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation. 800 leaders in the city of Pittsburgh joined together to pray. My son is currently, that same boy, is currently the president of the Pittsburgh Leadership Foundation. 44 years old. I said, yo, Matt, I don't see any headliner. 2 years ago, we had Ben Roethlisberger was a speaker sharing his testimony of coming to Christ. And of course, his wonderful Dr. Roethlisberger, his wife, sharing what she went through before he did and how happy she was when he got saved. And the place was packed. Online, 5,000 people. I said, Matt, I don't see a big headliner for this meeting. Who's going to? He said, Dad, we're going to pray. I said, you what? He said, we're going to pray. We're going to take the time that a speaker would consume and around the tables, we're going to pray. I said, Matthew, you are one bold dude. You've got the bishop of the Roman Catholic Church, the bishop of the Lutheran churches, the director of the Southern Baptist Federation, whatever it is. You've got the AG district secretary. They're all sitting here together. And you're going to have them pray. I got a Messianic Jew on my left and another kid that was in that children's ministry on my right is now 40-something over years old on my right. We're all going to join together in prayer, he said. Yep. If we don't pray, God won't move. Get it? If we don't pray, God won't move. I said, you believe that? He said, of course I believe that. He said, where'd you learn it? Kids' church. Mr. Richardson, Alan Richardson's gone to be with the Lord. Richardson Sheet Metal Fabricating, Richardson Construction. Big, burly iron worker. Scared that kid to death until he would pray and receive Jesus Christ. Matthew, if you don't receive Jesus Christ today. He said, he scared me into heaven. Mr. Richardson said, if you don't pray, God won't move. I prayed to get Mr. Richardson away from me. This is my son. Oh, you should have him sometime. He's incredible. I see God moving in marvelous ways. People say, they write articles, go online. Oh, the church is declining. The church is going down. The church is going down. I'm here to tell you, we are not going down. We are going up. We aren't decreasing and diminishing, not in any way, shape, or form. Faith is alive. 1 year, I went out for 30 days, 42 university campuses. I prayed on all the ACC schools, all the SEC schools, all the Big 12 schools, all the Big 10 schools, and picked up a few along the way. You watch it today. Thousands of young people are being baptized on the campuses of those schools. And I tell you, God, you know God, God is moving in America, and God is bringing revival to individuals, schools, and groups. In our local high school, where we pray all the time, our local high school in Oakmont, Pennsylvania, the Bible Club is now the biggest club in that school. The Bible Club. Kids are leaving other things to come and join what? The Bible Club. No, I think it's because of Oakmont Bakery's donuts, but don't. No, Mark Sorreo owns it. He's very, very kind to us with the donuts for the kids. But I tell you, I'm not doing it. It's not something I'm leading. It's my grandson. It's my grandson. We train up children in the ways of the Lord, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Train up a child. Train up a child. Now, let's be very frank about this. Being 76 years old, you, of course, realize that there is a deposit made in my checking account from Social Security. And everybody's worried about, what's the administration going to do with Social Security? If you don't invest in the generation that's paying the money now, there won't be money for your retirement. I once said to my daughter-in-law, my son was marrying a beautiful, beautiful little girl from Seattle, Washington. And I was very, when I met her, I said, oh, give her gifts, take care of her, very nice to her, very kind, very polite to Michelle. She said to me one day, this was early on in their marriage, she said, Mr. Gephardt, why are you so nice to me? I said, well, Michelle, you might notice I don't have daughters. Sons. Yes, I said, and so I figure when I'm old and I can't no longer take care of myself, it's going to be you. And I hope that if I'm nice to you now, you'll be nice to me then. She looked to her husband, my son Sammy. She looked at Sammy, is he kidding? Sam said, he's deadly serious. He's being serious with you right now. That's what he's doing. He's sowing for his future. And then he smiled at her. Samuel has such a sense of humor. He smiled at her and he said, don't worry. I've already chosen the bin that I'm going to throw him in. Don't worry about it. Come on, man. These are facts of life. One generation passes, the next generation comes. Whatever you invested in that generation is what it becomes. Amen? Now, someone say very loudly, get to the message.
Get to the message.
Thank you very much. I will. This is a wonderful church. I appreciate watching Pastor and his family grow, and I enjoy watching all of you grow. If we look together in, as you turn to it, Ephesians chapter 4. We'd like to just take a moment and read together the scripture. I know this is last minute, but I got this sermon at 4:21 this morning in the hotel. I had a really good one ready, but the Lord woke me up at 4:21, so this is fresh, coming right out of the bakery. I don't know if we can project these or not on a spur of the moment like that. But we're going to read together Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I have been in missions now over 50 years. What I want you to write down and remember, if you don't remember anything else out of this, remember this. All valid ministry comes and goes through the door of a local church. Bold statement today. All valid ministry, that is ministry that will endure, ministry that will reproduce fruit, ministry that will bring righteousness to unrighteous people, ministry that will break through the powers of principalities, ministry that will cause nations to call upon the name of the Lord. All valid ministry comes and goes through the door of a local church. Man, what I have seen. I've seen people try to take shortcuts. I've seen people try to go around. I've seen people get fed up and say, I'm going to go do it myself. I've seen 60 jillion storefronts open and close. I've seen so many disillusioned people because some hothead couldn't submit and be in a part of a flow that God was doing in a group of people. And rather than being a small part of a very big thing, had enough ego that they had to be a very big part of a very small thing. He who brings division in the body of Christ divides the inheritance of Jesus. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling and the glory of the riches of his inheritance in the saints. The inheritance of Jesus Christ is in the person sitting next to you. And when you can find a reason to push away or divide from or cut apart that person who's sitting next to you, when you can no longer see Jesus in them, when you no longer honor Jesus in them, when you no longer honor the sacrifice of Jesus to purchase them because of the color of their skin, because of their race, because of their socioeconomic position, because of their politics, you find a reason to divide from them, you have just divided the inheritance of Jesus Christ. There is no justification to divide the body of Christ. None. And I have been on both sides of church wars. Man, I am a charismatic. We fight nasty. If I disagree with you, you got a demon. No, let's get right to it. I'll find something wrong with you. Persuade myself that it's your problem, not mine. Offense has to be picked up and nurtured. You have to take offense. Pride. Say, oh, I'm offended by that. Well, I hope I've offended some of you today. You have a chance to repent at the end of the service. When you get old, it's no longer just smoke and mirrors and everybody's good. And no, man, listen. But this church has endured. You see, I know the history. I know the history at Greystone. I know the history. I know the people. I've watched it. I've observed it. Hallelujah. Here we are, such as we are. Here we are. And we're still seeking God, and we're still worshiping, and we're growing and growing and growing. Hallelujah. So, okay, now we get to Ephesians chapter 4. We made it through chapter 1. Please, please, as much as lies within you, live at peace with all men, especially those of the household of faith. Now, you can be sure that if you got a goat to get, God's got someone to get your goat. And you can be sure that if you're in a local church and you're trying to function in a local church, you're going to get well-rounded. Because there are going to be people who are going to rub off all your corners. That's how I got so round, see? Over 50 years in ministry, I still have a sense of humor. Listen, I don't have high blood pressure or anything else like that either. But anyhow, God wants a bunch of people with childlike faith who love to be together and can be in the sandbox and not throw sand on each other. Amen? And we have it. We have it. We have it. Let's look together in chapter 4. Verse 11. He himself. Now, why would he say he himself? Why would that be doubled? Why not just say, and he? Why do you say he himself? Because he wants you to know that the gifts that you have, your prophetic ability to see the future, your evangelistic ability to save souls, your pastoral heart that cares with compassion for people, came specifically from Jesus Christ to you. It's an impartation of a spiritual gift. Yes, we learn the vocabulary of it. Yes, we learn the way of doing it. But it is, first of all, a gift. If you haven't got the gift of imparting spiritual truth to people, you are not a teacher. But that doesn't exclude you from participation. You understand? Discerning the gifts. What has God given? In this work, we've gone from a man and woman leading everything to a plurality of people who are demonstrating spiritual giftedness, who are being meshed and knit together into a functioning body for purpose. God, that's exciting to me. That's exciting to me to see that happening. In Indiana, Pennsylvania, with ramifications locally, nationally, regionally, and internationally, is exciting to me. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and others pastors and teachers for the what? Equipping of the saints for the what? The work of the ministry. What is the purpose of being gifted? To equip the saints. What is the church? The church is a place where people come in. Here, do this with me. You look too serious. You have to do one of these things here. Do this with me, this motion. This is when I was a children's pastor, 600 kids. Ready? Jesus, say Jesus. Jesus came to John, was baptized, came up, received the Spirit. God spoke. He went into the wilderness. He defeated the devil. Hallelujah. I like that part. He defeated the devil. He came out of the wilderness. He chose four. Andrew, Peter, James, John. The first evangelist, the first apostle, the first pastor, and the first prophet of the New Testament era. He taught them what they needed to know, and he sent them out. Okay, get it? Ready? Jesus came to John, baptized, came up, received the Holy Spirit. Now, come on, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, what on earth are you waiting for? Receive the Holy Spirit. Or if you haven't been baptized, what are you waiting for? Or if you haven't come to Jesus, what are you waiting for? You're still in the wilderness. Okay, Jesus, say it. Came to John, was baptized. Came up. Thank God he came up. Man, I have seen people. No, honestly, Judah, I've seen young people fired up about God, right? And they get in the hands of, they submit to the existing ministry, get immersed in that ministry, and you don't ever see them again. That jealous old fool holds them down, drowns them in the work of the ministry. You know it. Mary had a little lamb, grew up to be a sheep, joined a charismatic church, and died from lack of sleep. You with me? 60s. You know, we're kind of like that. Here. Jesus. Say it. Jesus. Came to John. Baptized. Came up. Received the Holy Spirit. God spoke. What did he say? You are my son. You are my son. The assurance of relationship. The assurance comes with the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to John, baptized, came up, received the Holy Spirit. God spoke. First 40 days after baptism, he defeated his demons. It wasn't 25 years later as a Christian and he's trying to kick his mother-in-law out of, no, I mean the demons out of the house. You got that? Some of you are really laughing hard. I hope she's not in the room. That they'll come and get you. They'll come and get you. Jesus, ready? Jesus came to John, baptized, came up, received the Holy Ghost. God spoke, went into the wilderness, defeated the devil. Right? Came out of the wilderness. Thank God he came out of the wilderness. Chose four. Andrew, Peter, James, and John. This is where Paul got it, man. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor. Jesus is in the middle. You see it? You see it? Okay. Taught them what they needed to know. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitude. 21 principles. The 21 principles of the kingdom of God. You know them? Sermon on the Mount. Right? I'm not going to tell you all 21. Taught them what they needed to know. And what did he do? He sent them out. Stay with me now. He sent them out. Come on, give me a sent them out. He sent them out. Okay, now, you, I'm talking to you. You came to Christ. See, where are you in the process? Came to Christ, got baptized, came up. Thank God you came up. Received the Holy Spirit. God spoke. God spoke. Assurance of salvation. God spoke to you. You are my child, right? Went through your wilderness. Defeated your demons. Huh? I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do, right? You remember that one, A.G. It's the assemblies of God. Defeated your demons. Come out of the wilderness. For God's sake, get out of the wilderness, would ya? Quit dancing with the devil over things you did in the past. It's somewhere under the water with the baptism thing. You know, you're resurrected in newness of life. Get over it. If you hate it, don't hate anymore. If you lied, don't lie anymore. If you cheated, don't cheat anymore. If you stole, don't steal anymore. Grow up. Right? Where are we? Oh, came out of the wilderness, right? Right? Came out of the wilderness. Core four. Found four people, small group, facility, type of ministry, somehow. Four people to whom you can relate. You see, the body is built on relationship. Four people, maybe coffee in the morning, maybe a Zoom call, maybe some way to impart spirit life. Teach them what they need to know. Always teaching the new, always serving the new, whether they're children's ministry, teen ministry, evangel, whatever way they come, always teaching the new, establishing them in the faith. You see, you learn more by giving out than you ever did by taking in. Right? And then he sends you out. Proven ministry in the local church still has a step. He sent you out. Now let's do it real quick. You ready? Do it with me. Ready? Came to Christ, baptized, received the Holy Spirit. God spoke, went into the wilderness, defeated the devils, came out, chose four disciples. Teach them what they need to know. Send them out. Now, ready for this? He brought them in. Well, why don't you stand up for this? You look a little tired. Stand up. Ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Nice. Good job standing up. Man, that was tough on me this morning at knee, I tell you. Ready? Good job. He brought them in to send them out. He brought them in to send them out. He brought them in to send them out. He brought me in. Huh? To send me out. He brought me in to send me out. The process. Jesus puts the product in front of people to draw them to the process. This is the process. Please be seated. And so we form a body, and while we're in a body and we're working with each other and working on each other and working without each other, but while we're working together, what's happening? We're maturing. We're learning to love beyond love. We're learning to be patient. We're learning to be kind. We're learning to be gentle. We're getting the fruit of the Spirit. The dove has two wings. The one wing are the nine gifts. It got nine feathers, nine gifts of the Spirit. But the other wing of the dove is the nine fruit of the Spirit. And so many people are running around with a one-winged dove trying to get it to fly. Evangelicals are saying no gifts in this age. They want to flop around like a dove with one wing. And then, but then the charismatic Pentecostals, they want all the gifts, but they won't talk about fruit. The dove's got two wings, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. I want the whole bird, man. I don't want... And then there are people who get hung up on one feather. It take one feather, right? It's never long-suffering. The feather that is chosen is never long-suffering. And the last one in that list of fruit is one I deal with all the time. Self-control. Ayah. You mean I can't eat all the pasta I want? I just weigh 352 pounds. You mean I got to take that spaghetti sauce and put it on mixed vegetables? Brother, I know you're Italian. I don't mean to offend you with that, but listen. But if you want to go from 352 to a nice 287, no, I got to get down more, but I'm 287 now. If you want to lose that, it's self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and self-control. You can call on God and eat a lot of fruit. Not my favorite. And don't put salt on the apple, or what will happen? Blood pressure. Oh, life is complicated, isn't it? Man, but I want both wings on that dove. I want to be fully gifted, and I want fruit coming out. I want fully gifting, and I want fruit coming out. And we're joined together as a temple of the Holy Ghost, individually and corporately. So if any two agree as touching anything on earth, it will be done. Because why? Because we are the same Spirit. We're brought together in love by God, or in love by God, or in love by God, or in love by God. So, verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man. A perfect man, not perfect men. Any married woman will tell you there is no such thing as a perfect man. And they all said, you can say amen. It's okay, girls. Hey, I'm going to stick up for you, girls. It's all right, I'm with you. I'm with you. Trust in man is a vain thing. Yes, dear, I'll take care of it next week. That we no longer be children. Oh, wait. Till we all come to unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, in the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Do you remember, I don't know how many of you remember, in the days when they used to take this scripture and say that three elders who were all under 30 could sit down with somebody and point their faults out to them, speaking the truth in love? Am I the only one who remembers those days in the charismatic movement? It was ridiculous, man. I said, you're not talking the truth. You're talking your perception of an individual. Jesus is the truth. And I'll speak Jesus everywhere. And let every man measure himself against the stature of Christ. But I'm not going to be the judge. Jesus said, don't judge. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge. Well, they all got judged. Anyway, we won't go too down there. Don't do it. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If you take your arm, your elbow, right, and you've got a system of muscles there, and you want to build strength in those muscles, then they have to work against each other. Right? You got it? It's the tension of the joint that builds the strength in the muscles. You want to know why you sometimes have tension in ministry, in working with one another? It's so that love can abound, so that forgiveness can abound, so that we can begin to see things from the other person's point of view, so that we can all grow in grace and in love. When two people are divided in the body of Christ, neither of them is right. There's only one right point of view. That is God's point of view. If you obey my commandment, you will ask what you will, and it will be done for you. Okay, what's the commandment? Love one another. Oh, come on, God. Did you ever pastor this church? I mean, I've asked it many times. You mean I got to love that person? That person, God, you know what? You see, when you're the pastor, you're the only one looking this way. Everyone else is looking this way. Everyone in this room, except for me, has a certain perspective. Me, I got a totally different perspective. Totally different perspective. And when we try to discuss that, difference of opinion, discussion, so forth. Just so every discussion ends with communion. Just so we wash each other's feet. We can discuss. But let's be together at the end of it. Huh? Let's communicate until we communicate. And when we feel our emotions come up in it, you're wrong. It's your flesh. When I feel my emotions come up in it, I'm wrong. It's my flesh. I'm going to prove my point. You're going to lose a brother. Can you afford to lose a brother for whom Christ died? See him on the cross, suffering, bleeding for that guy, and you're ready to rub him off? That makes you the judge, friend. Here come the judge. Makes you the judge. Don't want to do that. Judge not. Judge not. So what is this man leading up to? Well, I'll tell you. Here. Living in Singapore, pastoring an English congregation in a Chinese church and growing it from a handful of 20-somethings into four services and 2,000 members, I learned an awful lot about missions. Over the years, I've learned several things. And during that time, there was an innovative strategy suggested for missions. Now, Singapore is just a little bitty island, a little dot, 14 by 24 miles. We have Indonesia on one side. That's the largest Muslim country in the world. 15,000 islands, Indonesia. We have Malaysia to the north. We get our water from Malaysia. Anytime Malaysia wants to stop Singapore, they turn a valve and shut the water off. But of course, we have desalinization now, so we'll be all right. It's a local flight to go to Cambodia or to go to Laos. We go to Thailand. We go to Thailand all the time for shopping and play golf. It's centrally located. It's a key place. And it became a hub. A hub. This is computer talk. I don't even pretend to understand computer talk. But it became a hub, a central place of resource, human resource, spiritual resource, material resource. It became a hub. Language, English, crime, no. There's everything modern Singapore, right? And so it became a hub to go to gateways into the nations that I've mentioned. In those years, about 25 years ago, this strategy was suggested, and I was living in one of the hubs. And so I appointed one of my interns, whose email address is still hub for Thailand. And I said, yo, Jeff, listen, how about you get involved in Thailand, you and Tammy, get involved in Thailand. Let me know, pray about this. Let me know, you know, what you see, what you think. And so they took it on. The cities that were suggested as hubs at that time were Jakarta, Indonesia, Baguio in the Philippines, Taipei in Taiwan, our Singapore, and Hong Kong. Hong Kong was a little bit difficult because in 97, the Chinese came back down to Hong Kong. And many of us used Hong Kong as the base for working up into China. But then when the Chinese came down, the mainlanders came down, that meant that the police in Hong Kong would be overridden by the police from the mainland who were trying to shut down the work that we were doing. And so then many of the people moved to Chiang Mai, Thailand. They made the move over to Thailand, so they were out from under the communist oppressor of the People's Republic of China. And that got an interest into those groups of people for Bangkok, because Bangkok had the educational facilities, Bangkok had the banking facilities, the communication facilities, a lot more crime, a lot more degradation, They moved out from under the Hong Kong Cantonese culture, which is very gentle, non-confrontational culture. And they moved into the Thai culture, which can be vicious in a very gentle way. Gently vicious. I think I categorized that properly. And so it has taken time. It's taken time for Bangkok to rise up as a center. I was in Bangkok during that time, and I was the international chaplain for a group called Girls Brigade, which is from the UK, but it's for girls, for public schools, teaching morals, character development in public schools. So wherever the British were influential, there's Girls Brigade. And so they needed an international chaplain for all of, everywhere that in the British Empire. So I was appointed to be the international chaplain. So I was there at a global conference on Girls Brigade when one of the leaders from the Thai church came up to me. Lovely lady, precious, wonderful sister. It got right in my face. Excellent English, probably a PhD in English or something. Got right in my face and said, "You foreigners will not reach Thailand. Thailand belongs to the Thai. We will reach Thailand. We don't need you foreigners here. We don't want you foreigners here." Lady's right in my face. She's about this tall. She's really into my chin. And she's telling me all this stuff. And so when she finished, you know, I said, "Well, it's very nice to meet you too. And I'm so glad you're doing a good job. And God bless you. And carry on, carry on, carry on." Now, I'm not getting into it. Just forget that, lady. Just, you know, have a good life. God bless you. Blessed be the Thai. You know the hymn, right? Comes to my mind often. And that's when I began to understand the resistance to the gospel in the nation of Thailand. There are several forces operating in Thailand, and these are the ones that we have determined to be the big four. So as our team from here, the mature church, the gifted church, the plurality in leadership church, the home of the faithful who love Jesus and will not pick on their brother, as we go forth into Thailand in a short-term venture to begin to spy out the land, these are the four things for which you need to pray for your brothers and sisters as they go. Because from this church, when one goes, we all go. Right? Say it with me. When one goes, we all go. Let's say it. From this church, when one goes, we all go. Amen? First opposition will be the saying, to be Buddhist is to be Thai is to be Buddhist. Cultural identification, it's a lie. It's a lie. The king of Thailand is believed to be the reincarnation of the Hindu god Vishnu. If you look on the palace and it's all Vishnu, it's all Vishnu. Now, you know, here in Indiana, PA, you don't need to know too much about Vishnu other than it's bad. It's like kids' church. This is good, this is bad. What's bad? What's evil, Dad? Anything you can't do in front of your mother is evil. You got it? Good definition. Anything you can't do in front of mom, that's evil. Stay away from evil. Long sermon for short kids. So, Vishnu. The Thais are deceived into believing that the king is a god. And that if they receive Jesus Christ, they are renouncing the king. They're renouncing their national identity to receive Jesus Christ. Young people have died over this. In villages, people have died. They've received Jesus Christ and been killed that night. They've been baptized and gone straight to heaven. This is a very real thing today in Thailand. The second obstacle is the language. This language, this is a crazy language, Thai. It's crazy. It's got, 16 different tones? It has no defined past, present, future. This is crazy. I have 2 good brothers, 3, 4, 5 good brothers who are not Thai who can now speak and read Thai. But the labor that it took them to learn this thing, and with their Thai people, they just have a translator. This is crazy. The language obstacle. Who has the right to speak? Who can speak to the people? Who knows how to communicate with the people? The third thing, of course, is reverence for the king. And this is where we have the breakthrough. This is where today, this is why Thailand today and Bangkok can become a hub for gateway cities around the world. And we can flow in this vision from here, and I encourage you to do it, can flow in this hub because why? The king died. The king died, and the crown prince is a louse. Even a Thai person can't say that this crown prince is a reincarnation of anything godly, whether it's Vishnu or anybody else. He doesn't even live in Thailand. He lives in Europe with his multiple ladies and his Ferraris. And they hate him. Not hate is strong, but they certainly do not respect him as they did their father. And so in the emerging generation, 20-something to 30-something, there are millions, I tell you, millions of people, young people, disillusioned with the whole Vishnu trip, disillusioned with the whole king trip, who are ready to hear the truth of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And this trip and this opening of Bangkok and this training center that we're participating in Bangkok is so right on and right on time that I rejoice tremendously to even know of it, to have people involved in it, and to know that these people are going to it. Your church, through the ministry of the people of the church, going together into Bangkok will bring hope, will bring a testimony of what God has done among you that is absolutely essential for the emerging church, the Christians in Thailand, to understand. It is timely. It is in the total flow of God in Southeast Asia. It is the new hub city. The people who are in it are mature. They've been through it. It's not a bunch of harebrained people going to do it. They're people who have ministered in missions for years, people who understand how the war is won, people who have a heart for Thailand. And so I'm so excited. When I heard Thailand, This is right on. Breakthrough comes in many ways. For Thailand, we had a particular situation that resulted in national change. Let me share it with you quickly. The woman's name is Elaine. She was a very wealthy financier, a stock trader in Singapore, and glamorously beautiful, and made of magazines, and she was like the lady. Had the right cars, had the right club memberships, had everything. She married a businessman who was equal with her in wealth and in possibility. They brought the two businesses together, and they became leaders in Singapore, which is the financial capital of Asia. And, I mean, these guys were making money hand over fist. They appeared every important place they were members of or invited to. After some time passed, she felt that her husband's trips to Thailand, Bangkok, seemed to be taking a couple days longer than they may have necessarily taken. She sent out her spies and found out the guy's got a Thai woman. Now, that's not uncommon in business in Asia. That's not, even to this day, not uncommon. And so she said, I'm going to get even with that girl. So she went up to a town in Thailand that is called Hat Yai. And Hat Yai, Thailand, is where the mediums are. Now, I've never been afraid of a medium because I'm a double extra large. And what does a double extra large have to do with a medium? Anyway, but she went up there with this Bomo. We call him a Bomo. Went up with this medium who posed as a Buddhist monk. And as a Buddhist monk, he's holy. No Thai people can correct him. No Thai people can touch him. He's It's very, 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 very weird. She went to him. He has a reputation. That man had a reputation that he could break a curse or put a curse. Break a curse or put a curse. And so she went to him in Hachai, and she had a curse put on the woman. Then she came back down to Singapore. What they did with the original one is they had a cloth, and they both chanted over this cloth. And then he said, okay, that's it. The curse will come on the woman. She came back down to Singapore. The curse came on her. Her face began to twist. The first thing that went was her physical appearance. She went back up, said, this isn't working. He said, we have to move to another level in the spirit. What do we have to do with this? Blood covenant. He cut his wrist. She cut her wrist. They put their wrists together, take on the blood. That'll do it. That woman will lose her mind. Elaine went back down to Singapore, lost her mind, went totally crazy, physically crippled, mangled up. I mean, ugly looking. No, not even relating to her former self. And now her mind gone, her business gone. She went back up and said, look, this is what's happening to me. The curse, you're putting a curse on the wrong person. They did it again. This time they mixed blood in wine. They did a blood covenant between the two, the medium and her, to put the power on the lady. And, of course, it came on her. She went, a mutual person, took her to a dear friend of mine, Dr. Agatha Chan in Hong Kong. Agatha, clinical psychologist, sat down with her. They thought the lady was losing her mind. She had lost her mind. She started talking with Agatha. Well, we had a group of people, Pastor Ho, who is the leader of the Hakka Methodist churches in Malaysia, Pastor Ho, Agatha Chan, and myself were like a hit team. We were like a hit squad. Whenever there were places that were, you had to break through, they couldn't break through, like to plant churches or in a city or something, the three of us would get together, fly to that place, and work together. We did Tibet. We did parts of China. We did different places together. We were a team working together. He's coming from Methodist background. She's coming from, she founded Revival Church in Hong Kong. A charismatic lady came from the Argentine revivals, and then it was me. And so we traveled. And so they took the lady, this Elaine, they took her up to KL, and they had a place there at the Central Church of the Hokkien. Hokkien is a dialect. Methodist Church in Malaysia, and there were sisters there who would be with her. She had to have somebody with her day or night. And so the first time that we had an interview with Ho and with Dr. Chan and myself, I tell you the truth. I do not exaggerate. This woman manifested, and razor blades, real metal razor blades, came out of her arms. This is Thailand. Metal blades. You better be praying for the people who are going to Thailand. Metal blades came out of her arm. This woman was gone. Gone. We got enough information from her to be able to know where the medium was in Hachai. When you get to Thailand, you may be in the presence of Dr. Dan Ecker. He was on this team that came up. You can verify this with him. Dan Ecker. So I got my guys. They got their guys. Ho got his crowd. Agatha got a few intercessors from Hong Kong. We put a big team together. We're going to go get this guy, man. We're going to go get this guy. We are going to end this. We are going to go get him. We went up to Hachai, right? Looked around, and there the temple, which is a fake temple. It's got nothing to do with Buddha. It's a medium's place. There that place had burned to the ground. And the neighbors said, probably some husband or wife went up and torched it. And the people said, no. The priest, the monk, died in the fire. So here's this dear lady. Now we can't get the guy. What are we going to do? A little boy came up and talked to Pastor Ho and said to Pastor Ho, no. He faked it. He did not die in the fire. I think he set the fire. And he's building a new place up in the North Mountains, up above Chiang Mai, Thailand. And he's got land up there, and he's locating up there. And if you guys need to see him, that's where you can find him. Okay, so we call Pastor Prapon Narawat, who pastors in Chiang Mai, Church for All Nations in Chiang Mai. And I say, yo, Prapon, we need to go up, and we're going to need some translation because this is Karen tribe. And so we're going to need somebody who can translate Karen. He said, who's coming? I said, Ho's coming, Ching Ho's coming, Agnes coming, Danny's coming, Hubert's coming, the gang is coming. We're going to go find this guy and reverse the curse on this guy. Well, Prapon never backs it. He's Thai, man. This is his world. You mean they're all coming here to go up in that mountain and do that? I said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. That's what we do. Attack lambs, man. Come on. We're in a battle for the souls of man. All right. I got a Karen guy. I'll send him with you. Said, man, boy's name was Lek. And he was one of the disciples, one of the guys from the Karen tribe who was being trained in Prapon's Bible school. So we came in, got two vans, headed on up the mountain, came to the place. And Lek, being from there, had his motorbike. So it's like a cycle. And so he said, well, come on, I know where the place is. Let's go. So we had one team with ladies with Elaine in that van, all twisted up, gnarled, foaming at the mouth, just demonic in this van. And then we had the other van was a hit team, which is all the intercessors and the stuff. And I said, come on, we'll take you. I said, okay. So I got on the back of the bike with Lek. Now that is like an elephant trying to ride a peanut over time. Anyway, said through these hills, Thai hills. So we come zooming, man. We come zooming over. Oh, I'm sorry, I went too long. So we're zooming. How am I gonna tell this? Okay. So as we came over the peak of the mountain, it was a beautiful day in Thailand. Sunny like it is today, clear blue sky, absolutely gorgeous, looking down on the foliage. It is a beautiful country. And down in the bottom of the valley between these mountains was a little cloud, just a little, like a little lost cloud, you know, a little white cloud just down there hanging in the valley, just enjoying the morning. And so we went on down, and we came into this compound, and this man had money. He had built, didn't have the temple built yet, but he had a wooden with a metal roof up. He had made his stage. He'd put his big old Buddha, matriarchal with a big fat Buddha, put the Buddha up on there, and he had already trainees, about 20 little guys, all in their robes, you know, getting all trained in this stuff. So we came in, knocked on the door, like knocked on the door, and he said, there's this fat holy man from America, and he's come the whole way to get a word from you. Can you talk with him? America. You know, he's thinking money. America. Yeah. So he brought him out. So I meet the man. We do all the thing, all the proper custom. And he agreed. And I said, here's what I want to do. You give me a word, I'll give you a word. We'll have a kind of a fellowship here. In the spirit, all right? Okay, all right, he's for it. So the little monks all sat around on their different places, and he sat down in his place, and I sat down in front of him, made sure my head was lower than his head, which is Thai culture, my head lower than his head. And so then he did his jumbo, he did his chant, and then he said to me, this is the word he gave me, you are a man great in spirit. You can go anywhere in the world. You need not be afraid. But watch out for the Muslims. They're going to try to kill you. Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. I said, now, I have a word for you. So he gets ready, you know. So I took his hand in my hand. I'm holding his hand, and I looked right in his eyes, right? I put the blues right in, got right close to him. Looked right in his eyes, and I just started praying in the spirit, praying in tongues. I let out this shadabasatara. I'm looking at him, and he's getting nervous. I'm looking at him. He's getting nervous. I said, okay, I got it. Here's the word. You are having a recurring dream. He looked. In this dream, you're spinning round and round and round in a funnel. and you're going down in that funnel, and at the bottom of the funnel, there's a fire. You're going round and round and round. You're trying to hold on, but you can't hold on. Sliding down, sliding down, sliding down. It's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. When you want to cry out for help to get free, you look up and you see a face looking down at you. And that face has had the beard ripped out. That face has got holes where there was a crown of thorns pressed down on it. But the eyes are filled with compassion. And you know that if you could say the name of the face, if you could name the person, you would not go into the fire. You know that in your heart. And he's like, he stopped me. He says to Lek in their dialect, "Who is this guy?" Lek said, "I told you, he's good. He's got it. He's good. He's good. Listen, he's good." So he okay, all right, I got him. I said, "Now I can tell you the name of the one in your dream. I can tell you the name. But if I tell you that name, you have to leave off all this stuff that you do. You have to walk away from it. I'm ready to take you away today. If I tell you that name, you're responsible. Do you want to know the name?" He says to Lek, "I want to know the name. I want to know the name. I want to know the name." Lek explains it again. "You take this name. You can't take any other names." He paused. I held him. He's shivering. He's sweating. And he says to me, "Tell me the name." I said, "The name of the man who can save you from the fire, his name is Jesus." This monk hit Lek right across the face. Whap! Hit him. I mean, he backhanded him right across it. Jumped up. In English, he's saying, "Don't ever say that name here. Don't ever say that name here. Don't ever say." He's running around to the little monks. "Don't ever say that name. Don't ever say that name. Don't ever say that name." He's trembling. And at that instant, this whirlwind, at least 15 stories high, gray whirlwind, comes up out of that valley, blew the roof off of that temple, knocked down that Buddha, and Elaine came out of that van looking exactly as she had appeared before the whole thing happened and was gloriously set free. Thailand. We rejoiced. The king, it was a king's mountain. There was a king's temple at the top. So we took a little walk up there, Hubert and I, see what's going on. At the time that the whirlwind went through, the cement floor of that temple broke right down the middle to the altar into two pieces. Broke this cement, boom, and split that temple. Split the temple. It's a king's temple. Within 5 minutes, four men on motorcycles with guns showed up. "Who are you? What are you doing?" Trying to defend, you see. Oh, I tell you, there is power in the name of Jesus. No matter what the force is, no matter what the enemy is, no matter what the dream is, no matter what the situation is, no matter how old we are, doesn't matter if we're a boy or a girl, doesn't matter if you're a grandpa like me or a new pa like you, it doesn't make any difference. It makes no difference. You say the name of Jesus, and he'll change the whole thing. Amen? We went down to Chiang Mai to get the plane. Come on. And we met with Prapon the next morning. And I said, "Pastor, listen, I am really, really sorry. I apologize. I had no intention of getting Lek hit. You know, it was never my intention for that boy to be hit in the face. I apologize." He said, "Don't, Mark. Don't apologize." Lek said, "Pastor, it's an honor for us to take a hit for the name of Jesus. We're glad to take, this is Thailand. We're glad to take a hit for Jesus. And then Propon opened the newspaper. At the same moment that the whirlwind destroyed that place, whirlwinds were seen across Thailand. Bangkok, huge whirlwind. All through the Isan region, over 100 whirlwinds in different cities. Whirlwinds clear down to the Malay border to Hatchai. Whirlwinds came flying through. And the Thai church grabbed that and said, this is the beginning of the move of the Spirit of God in Thailand. And I thank God that over 12,000 Thai people were recently baptized in the very bay where the tsunami was. 12,000 people lined up, no Western face in it, 100% Thai leadership baptizing Thai youth into Thai water. I'm telling you, now is the time. You are the people. You have heard from God, and we as a church are about to do a small thing in a very, very big thing that God is doing. We're right on time. We're right on time. When one goes, we all go. Let's say it. When one goes, we all go. Let's say it again. When one goes, we all go. Would the people who are going on the short-term team please come and stand here? Quickly. The people who are going on the short-term team, please come and stand here. Come and stand here. Face the music. Take a look at the people. Face the music. Come and stand here. All right, I need at least five of you, folks. Five of you. Please move down that way. Please move down that way. Please down this. Good. I need five of you to stand behind. Choose the one you're going to be praying for. Choose the one you're going to be praying for night and day. Choose the one you're going to be covering. And come on and stand behind them. Choose your, this is your warrior, man. This is your person. This is your person. You're going to be faithful. You're going to pray for them night and day. God can wake you up at any hour. God can stop you in any motion. God can call upon you to pray. Say, God can call on me to pray, man. Because when one goes, we all go. Hallelujah. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. There you go. Oh, my knee would never let me get here that fast. Here we go. Here you go, guys. I'll move this for you. There you go. There you go. You get down in there. Get a hold of somebody. Get a hold of people. Everybody have someone? See, everybody has, hey, don't be late now. Come on. Oh, hey, get these kids. Please let the kids through. Oh, you go around in front. You get them from in front, okay? Sometimes hard to squeeze through the crowd. You know what I'm saying? You want to? If you want to go in front, you can. Huh? You want to go? Okay. Just lay hands. You have to put your hands on them. Kids, if you want to get in front of them because you can't reach through all these adults, just go down around Pastor and come in that side. That's it. Go ahead. Can you get in? Can you reach in? Okay, I don't want a kid to be missing this now. Amen. Okay, in your own words, right now in your own words, pray for the person that you've committed to. Come, let's extend our hands to this picture, huh? This is a picture, man. This is a church right here. This is a church right here. Do you know how to run an iPhone? Okay, here. Hey, come on, phone. Keep praying. I'm trying to get my phone to work. You know, that takes time. I'm an old guy. Don't have my grandchildren here to do my phone for me. Hey, what happened here? Oh, this thing. I don't need that. I need this. Here you go. See if you can get the picture for me. Amen. We're praying now. We're praying. We're praying. Come on, be praying. Be praying. Don't let people pray for you. You pray. You pray. You pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we, the body of your children, your church in the earth, agree together and commission this team to go forth. We proclaim that as they go, no weapon formed against them shall prosper. Nothing shall in any way harm them. No sickness will be able to enter into their bodies. We thank you, Lord, that this is a joyful time, a happy time, a wonderful time. Lord, we ask you to bless them, prosper them, put angels all around them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we as a church commit ourselves right now to love one another, to walk together, to stand together while this team is on the field, to believe with them and with you that Thailand will be saved. We thank you, Lord, as they go forth from there into other nations, that your hand will be upon them. Give them safe travel. Give them safe travel and wonderful adventures. Bless them and prosper them, we pray, in Jesus' name. And let everyone say amen. Amen. All right, we got your picture now, and now we got it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.